Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
John Cobell, Ken Shampoo, KFI, AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Yes, why not us? Thank you for listening while we prattle on for the better part of the next 4 hours. Groundhog Day, California gas prices, and particularly LA County, continue to go up while the rest of the country is going down. If this seems wrong, you're not the only one. We have now risen in Los Angeles County to over $6 a gallon. The latest figure I have is $6.01 and another tenth.
At
2.3 cents increase.
At what point is it cheaper to drive to the Nevada or Arizona border?
Well, if you live east of where we are, for us to drive to the border, use about half a tank or.
Yeah, I know. At least.
I don't know if it'd be worth that, but what did you see over the border? A dollar something less per gallon?
It was 4.59 less. I mean, it was 4.59, so at the time it was about $1.40 less than it is now. Mm. And if it's going down in the rest of the country, then the difference is going to be more than $1.40.
Yeah,
because we're only going up. Because we got other factors besides the, as we found out yesterday, we got factors besides the taxes.
Well, you know, as you like to always say, your time matters too. Do you really want to spend all that time driving all the way to the border?
Well, it depends.
To line up for gas and drive all the way back.
I know. Well, it's also the principle. Like, I don't.
The principle.
I don't think the Ukrainians would put up with this. The Ukrainians would drive to Arizona.
So for California, the current average price is $5.87. That's the state, compared to $4.24 as the national average.
Oh my God! So
there's your $1.60.
That's right.
$1.60.
$1.60, and Newsom refuses to suspend the sales tax for a year.
And again, he refuses. Yesterday it was $5.86 for California, went up a penny, but nationally it was $4.25, went down a penny. And if you look at the day before that, same trend. National was 432. It went down to 425. But California, 575 is a week ago, up to 586. Well,
we had the mirror.
We are bucking the trend of slowly dropping prices. Though I heard one expert say today, I think we're about there. I can't see $7 a gallon. Oh. I just don't think that's in California's future now.
F the experts. Which one of them predicted $6? I don't remember hearing that.
Well,
Mr. Self-proclaimed expert. These guys don't know crap.
Well, I think when Russia invaded Ukraine, there was a feeling among many experts that we were going to head towards six. I did hear that. And then certainly when Biden cut off the imports, I think we all knew this is probably going to happen. But, you know, we're at a point now where states are dropping and dropping. The only explanation here is, I forgot, we're an isolated market. What are we, Hawaii?
Yeah, I know. That's all. It's all BS. See, every single excuse is BS. We got a ton of oil under the ground in California. We have a ton of oil underground in the ocean nearby.
Folks missed our interview yesterday with the mayor of Taft up in Kern County, they got plenty of oil, but they're just not allowed to drill. They can't frack. They can't drill. They've really cut back.
We've got, and it's Newsom. It's Newsom with his executive orders. He's artificially created $6 gas.
Right.
And nobody
the
altar
of climate change prevention.
Yeah,
right.
Boy.
It's all about climate change.
And it is an altar, isn't it? It is a cult. It is a religion.
I'm going to wean you off of those fossil fuels.
No, he's not. That's the thing. He's not.
We're going to meet the moment.
He's not weaning anybody off. That's what the scam is. People are just paying the $6 for somebody else's gas and oil. We're using the same amount of gas and oil. Our consumption hasn't gone down. We're paying for the imports.
Yeah, I read that people are getting ready to cut back their driving to, you know, maybe just the more optional trips.
Well, getting ready?
Well, that's what I read 2 days ago. I saw that Californians, some of them are finally admitting that now they're just going to have to, not with going to work, if that's what they're doing.
Well, that it would be
there's other things you do, like you take short trips on the weekends.
Then it would be mission accomplished, right? So then they would have forced us into submission.
The secret agenda, but not so secret.
And not drive by intentionally making the gasoline so expensive, by doing it on purpose, because we didn't go along with their programs. We don't get on their homeless infested trains, their psycho infested subways. We won't do that. They barely exist to begin with. We don't take bikes, you know, over the Sepulveda Pass. What are the other whack job ideas they have?
Well, I thought, though, the pandemic put a lot of people working from home. That was supposed to be helpful. Like I said, it hasn't continued as much as they thought, did it?
It
did in New York. I just read a story in the Wall Street Journal today that the New York offices are still down at 1/3 capacity. The people there have not returned, the office workers in New York.
But they
largely take the trains and subways anyway, but...
Not based on my drive home.
No, I have read that we're almost back to pre-pandemic levels.
Deborah,
it's horrendous.
Yeah.
The wrinkle I heard was, and you may not agree with this, but the wrinkle I heard was it's a little better at the margins during drive time, but actually the middle of the day's gotten worse because there's just more people around.
Yeah.
Whether they're working from home or all those people that quit their jobs that are just.
Whatever happened to Friday light? Friday is the worst. It takes me longer to get to work and longer to get home every single Friday.
You're not in the mix. Friday light often discusses the morning, like a 6 a.m. drive. See, by the time you get on the road to come to the station, all the weekend people are starting to make their move to go out of town somewhere, to Vegas or Palm Springs or San Diego. So you run into that when you're coming to work on a Friday.
The drive at 1 o'clock is worse than the drive at 6.
Yeah, and that's what this report said, that the midday driving has actually ticked up since pre-pandemic levels, and that's probably because of the mix of things I just talked about, that some people are just, if they're working from home, then they can go do some things during the day that they wouldn't do if they were stuck in an office for 8 hours.
Right, because you can go off for an hour and do a bunch of errands if you want.
Right, and make up the work later. I mean, I'm not saying that, I'm not one of those people that believes, and I think you do, people that work from home are goof-offs. What I see a lot of people that I know working from home, they're doing, their workday kind of gets longer. They might sit there at 8 o'clock at night still typing stuff and doing things that they could have done at the office. But they take more breaks and stretch it all out. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like you do work, then you leave, you return to it. But the day kind of is longer. Like even after dinner, some people start to look at things and do some work. Yeah. All right. Well, we meant to get to this yesterday. I think John mentioned it. It is a hoot. It is a woman who wrote an opinion piece for Bloomberg trying to explain what you can do to fight all this inflation, whether it's gas prices, food prices. Here are some ways that you can cut back. And she also talks about who gets hit the hardest by inflation, such as gas prices. It's pretty funny. And yes, if you guessed, part of it is to kind of go vegan.
Yay!
You would be right. So we're bringing John beans and lentils in place of his hamburgers.
You'll love it.
Why don't you bring me a gun, too?
Protein and beans and lentils.
Lots of protein.
Yeah, beans and lentils. What a horrible world.
Mix it with rice. Oh, my gosh. Delicious. Add a little avocado. Perfect.
We got a cookbook.
It's just...
You're relentless.
I think she does. She's got a menu.
That's what I eat.
You're so oppressive. All right. More coming up. John and Ken. John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Shampo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we'll be bringing the moist line back. Why not? People like it. Most people. Don't forget, you can connect to the moist line very easily if you have the iHeartRadio app, which I understand, John, billions do. Billions. We're like McDonald's burgers now. Billions sold the iHeartRadio app, and that's free. They don't sell it. You can use the TalkBack mode on the app. It's a little microphone picture, and you can hit it, and you can leave a message for the John and Ken Show that way, and we'll collect those for the moist line. You can also do it the old-fashioned way with a voicemail at 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. But don't forget the new cool feature, and it's easy to use in the iHeartRadio app, the microphone talkback feature. This column came out a couple of weeks ago, but the response to it has been tremendous, and the response is not positive. Her name is Teresa Ghilarducci. She is the Schwartz Professor of Economics at the New School for Social Research. Have you been there, John? Have you checked out the New School for Social Research?
The term social research bothers me. You know,
she's not only a professor of economics, she is the Schwartz Professor.
Uh-huh. I guess
and she's a member of the board of directors of something called the Economic Policy Institute. Sounds like a think tank.
Well, one of these coastal elites.
Yes, she also wrote a book called Rescuing Retirement, but she's writing about what people can do to battle the high prices. And she starts off by saying, if your income is more than $289,000 a year, while the run-up in gas prices could be alarming, it's unlikely to hammer your overall finances. After all, Americans at that level spend no more than 1% of their take-home pay on gas and oil. But she does say if you earn much less, it's quite a different story. And particularly talking here in Southern California, and specifically like LA County, we have a lot of people with income that's barely $50,000. Well, they spend more than 3% of it on gas and motor oil, and if you're down there in the 20,000 range, you can spend about 9%. But the best part of this editorial piece is the way she suggests that perhaps people try to manage this inflation, gas, food prices. So here are her suggestions. To deal with gas prices, it's worth reconsidering public transportation.
Uh-oh.
If it's an option where you live, fares are up about 8% compared with 38% for gasoline. Now may even be the time to sell your car. Oh, no. Don't do that.
Do you realize?
Remember during the pandemic, the opposite happened.
Do you realize already you know she is someone who does not live in the real world? If you live out in the suburbs.
Yeah, maybe where she lives, there's cleaner buses.
Buses generally in the suburbs do not exist.
Well, maybe she lives in a smaller city that has public transportation, but it's cleaner.
Most people aren't living in a city which has a useful a public transportation network. I mean, I know the East Coast cities do, but the suburbs, you have to drive. And look here in L.A. We have virtually no useful public transportation.
So again, if you lived in a place like Des Moines, there's probably a decent little bus system, no?
Do you know how it
lived in a lot of those middle range cities and
no, it's impractical.
Well, it might be. That's why
unless you have your own unless you have your own private bus that takes you from your home to your work and then you leave and then you have to go pick up your kids at school and then you gotta drop off your daughter at piano practice or your son at soccer practice and then get to the grocery store to collect food. And then everybody meet home that night. How do you do that? You don't. It's impossible. That's the average person's life, especially if you live in the suburbs. That's
when
the life.
When it comes to food, don't be afraid to explore. Prices for animal-based food products will certainly increase because Ukraine and Russia supply a significant amount of corn and barley to the world market, and that is to feed the livestock. that provides John Cobalt's hamburgers. Meat prices have increased about 14% from February of last year. Will go up even more, though your palate may not be used to it. Tasty meat substitutes include vegetables, where prices are up a little over 4%, lentils and beans, which are only up about 9%.
This is more lecturing from the cultists. You notice how it veered right into all the progressive scolding, finger wagging? First of all, they called vegetables tasty.
They are.
You're part of the cult.
I'm not a cult. Vegetables are tasty.
No,
if I didn't like them, I wouldn't eat them.
Percentage of people who eat vegetables are tiny. They are.
See, Deborah, he's stuck, and it's actually at the end of her column. He needs to improve his brain plasticity.
Oh.
That will improve by trying novel things.
There you go.
There's an advantage to mixing up what you consume to cope with unusual price spikes.
That is a totally invented.
He has no brain plasticity.
That's a horse crap
concept.
And
we can tell every day by the rants, can't we?
Yes, we can.
Your brain hardens.
He's the madman in the basement.
I'm sorry. All right, I have a poll for you. You want to hear this?
And he really is in his basement.
I saw this the other day.
Ah, polls are BS.
No, listen to this. This is interesting. It shows you about how we're bombarded with a certain kind of progressive news, and it's seeped into our brains. YouGov is a polling outfit, and they polled people to estimate the size of minority groups in this country, right? What proportion of people are X? And then they listed the answers they got from their polling sample and the true proportion. Let's take vegans and vegetarians. They were asked, how many people, what percentage of society you think vegan or vegetarian?
It's in the single digits.
The true proportion is 5%.
Yeah.
Okay?
Most people think it's much higher, huh?
Not 30%. Okay, so what does that tell you?
Because we're bombarded with ads for, substitute meats and this and that.
Right.
You're thinking a lot of people are doing this.
95% of America eats meat, and yet people think that 30% of America are vegan and vegetarian, and that is nothing but this relentless pounding by all these progressive scolds. I got another one for you.
Be a hybrid, eat a little vegetable.
Exactly. You don't have to be a vegan or a vegetarian, but add some variety.
A lentil. Bring them a lentil.
I'll bring you a lentil.
I don't know what a lentil is. I have no idea what that is. What is that?
A lentil?
Is that a weed?
No. It's like a bean.
It's a little bean. There's nothing I hate more than beans.
Full of nutrition.
All right. Get this one. And this really makes the point. What percentage of the population do you think are transgender?
That's really low.
0.6%.
Yeah, it's...
You know what?
I was going to say less than 1%, but I wouldn't have even gone as low as 0.06.
Yeah.
That's another topic that's way out of proportion.
Okay. Do you know what the public thought? 20% of the public is transgender.
Well, what form does that take? But
I don't even know. I mean, one out of five people, according to the public. Why? Because you turn on the news. It's all you see.
You're pounded with the coverage.
Debate over this. And so people are starting to say, it's like, well, I guess there are a lot of transgenders out there.
It's because it's a new frontier for rights. That's the media loves that. A new frontier.
I know, but you see how people's brains get scrambled. You can't think straight anymore.
I was thinking about this morning, too, although I didn't see that survey. And I said, but on the other side of this crowd that's all worked up over transgenders and what's going on, it's going to change the culture. Remember what, 15, 20 years ago, everybody worked up over gay marriage, that it was going to overtake America. Has it? Well, does anybody even notice it anymore?
No. Oh, that's another one here. According to this, 3% of the population is gay and 4% are bisexual. The public thinks 30% of the population is gay and 30% is bisexual.
Wow.
They think there are more gay and bisexual people than there are straight. I just found this fascinating.
Oh, and by the way, before we move on, Deborah, there was one in here that she recommends that I don't think you're going to like.
What's that?
Nothing to do with food. It has to do with pets. You may want to rethink taking medical measures to save your pet's life.
What?
Some of them are too expensive. Like pet chemotherapy, which can cost up to $10,000.
Oh, yeah, that is expensive.
That's a little much, unless you have unlimited money.
To spend, yeah. But But yeah. There are people that are so, I mean, it's family.
Well, it just depends, I would say, on the likelihood of how long the animal's going to live and how old the animal is. I mean, there's lots to go into that.
There's plenty of homeless dogs and cats at the pound.
Yeah, just recycle.
Yeah, so there's replacements.
You're going to replace your dog and your cat that easily?
It's kind of accepting what is real in life.
I'm not going to spend $10,000 on chemotherapy.
Nothing and nobody that we know of yet lives forever. So, yeah. Particularly animals.
You're not going to spend $10,000 on your dog.
Well, probably not.
She hasn't faced that yet, though.
But I have in the past with other animals, and I did not. I actually did go to. A specialist and tried some things, and we determined that the chemo wasn't really the best option for that particular
that
dog.
You would go bankrupt is what you did.
Well, but that, and also again, it depends on the type of cancer and the likelihood that the animal's going to survive. And if the animal's only going to survive a year, are you going to spend all that money? I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody what they should do with their pets.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken. John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Shampo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we'll be talking the mayor's debate coming up tonight for the city of Los Angeles. It will include, for the first time, businessman Rick Caruso on the stage. We'll bring you an update on that. It's at 6 o'clock, and I think Channel 11 is carrying it. You okay with this earthquake, Deborah Mark? Taiwan hit by a magnitude, I'm seeing 6.7.
It's not here, is it?
There's one that hit Ontario overnight. I heard about that one, too, early this morning.
Yeah, that's a little.
Yeah, I didn't feel that one.
I didn't either.
Oh, there's a 90-foot tidal wave, though, coming from Taiwan.
To here?
To here, yeah.
Yeah,
wow. I'm looking at the map. It's pretty close.
It's supposed to wipe out the West Valley.
Burbank, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What time? Because I'm only in Burbank for, five hours?
The next hour or so.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
all right.
Really close.
I will see you guys later. Find somebody else to do the news.
There's life jackets around.
Yeah, really?
Life jackets.
Yeah, maybe a boat.
Somebody needs to put me on their shoulders.
A writer for the National Review asked a question today. Is the IRS collapsing? I can tell you from personal experience, and this is the first time this has happened to me, when I filed my taxes for 2020, I just got the refund like a month ago. 2020. Okay, so I filed
2020?
Them a year ago. Yes.
Oh, wow.
There was one note I got in the mail. They wanted me to send more proof of my withholdings. That was in August. I sent that in within days. I heard nothing until February. Yeah, just last month. And suddenly the deposit was in my account for the refund. So I thought to myself, something I think is not right, because I've gotten refunds before and it's never taken that long.
Well, they have almost 20 million unprocessed returns.
Yes. Was it just they don't have enough workers? Is this like what the California Employment Development Department says here? They don't really answer the phone either.
This is overwhelming. In the last 2 years, Congress passed some tax law changes to deal with the pandemic. I don't know what that would be, but apparently it confused the entire country, because it used to be the IRS would get 100 million phone calls. A year, 100 million. That's standard for 10 years. 2021, they got 282 million, almost triple. 282 million calls.
And is that all people with pandemic money and unemployment money?
I don't know.
Questions about taxes? And
I didn't call them once. I had no questions.
No, and I thought about calling them, but I said that's silly. Calling the IRS just sounds like a joke to me, and I'm right looking at this story.
90% of the time, you didn't get a human being on the phone, 90%.
And even if you did, unless it's a kind of a simple tax question, but if you have a specific question like I did about my refund, all they can do is probably look up the file number and go, it's still in process. Thanks for calling.
And
I mean, can they call it up and actually go through it and tell you why it's being held up? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably takes a while for them to just verify who you are.
Yeah, that's another question, right?
So and you end up on hold for a really long time.
Just over one in every nine people calling the IRS was able to talk with a person.
The number of visits to the IRS website went from 650 million in 2019 to over 2 billion in 2021. The visits to its Where My Refund page hit 632 million.
You see, that's me. Right. Although there are just some people that just are impatient and they'll probably go there all the time, like even a month after they filed. Where's my refund? But, you know, I was a year and a half, so I thought.
Well, it says the Where's My Refund page is non-functional for most people because it doesn't explain why your status is delayed. It doesn't give you the reason for the delay. It doesn't tell you where the return is in the process, and it doesn't tell you what needs to be done.
Well, then just tells you what you already know. You don't have it yet.
Now, I'm guessing if you don't fill out your taxes, it would probably take them, what, 15, 20 years to figure it out?
Right.
I mean,
The end of the 2021 filing season, the IRS had a backlog of over 35 million unprocessed returns. As of December of last year, they still had 2 million unprocessed personal tax returns, 8 million unprocessed business tax returns, and 9 million unprocessed amended personal and business returns.
That's 19 million.
How many people work there?
Five. And here, listen to this about the tax code. You talk about something that needs a bulldozer. In the year 2000, the tax code was 1.4 million words. It is now 4 million words 20 years later. It's almost tripled.
I took a tax class in college. This would be a long time ago. The first day, the professor walked in with the tax code book. I actually had it printed, a book then. And he put it down. And he said, "You see this? This is the IRS tax code. Look how big it is." He goes, "I can only imagine in 10 years how much bigger it's going to be." He just said, "It's incredible how much is in there." And it's all just lobbying and amendments because, you know, Congress is constantly lobbied for tax changes. And if they get them approved, they have to be amended into the code.
So
that's how it grows.
The whole thing is busted. The 4 million words have confused virtually everybody. I don't know why they don't just come up with, you know, one percentage that everybody pays.
Yeah, they always talked about simplifying.
I mean, why not? What's the point of this?
The flat tax was one idea. Let's get rid of all the crazy deductions and all the rules.
Come up with
capital gains and the alternative tax and all this crap they throw in there. It is very complicated. But the people that benefit from all those things, and you always hear the story about, the wealthy people that pay no taxes.
Well, see, that's the thing.
They probably don't want to see a lot of change to that.
I know. They're not paying. So if you just came up with a flat tax, they'd end up paying more.
Yes.
Because you would block off all the escape hatches, right? Like,
right.
Let's say the number was, I don't know, I'm just going to make up a number, like 20%, right? So no matter what you make, you pay 20%, 15%. I'm just making up a number. And they're going to say, well, yeah, but right now you have to pay, you know, 40%. Except wealthy people don't pay the 40%. They have so many tricks. So many deductions, so many, you know, debt rollovers. I mean, that's how Trump did it. That's how Jeff Bezos did it. They don't pay tax.
And they're the influencers that this ain't going to happen unless they want it to. And it's unlikely because it's working out for them. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we were talking, these kind of go right together, earlier this hour about how much people would spend on their pets in terms of health care. You know, chemotherapy and things like that can be very expensive. It was a column by a woman who was recommending ways that you might cut back during these inflationary times.
Yeah.
And then we were just talking about the backlog at the IRS and how wealthy people, you know, figure out a lot of ways to not pay a lot of taxes because of the way the tax code is constructed. They kind of meet in this next story. I was flipping through the New York Times on Sunday. They have a section in the Sunday paper called Style. Don't ask me why I look at it. I just do. You get to the back of it, and it's usually about elaborate weddings. Yeah, a lot of couples. They're probably elite, well-to-do people.
Oh, society people. Yes, I've seen that.
I guess so. Well, sometimes I look at their jobs, and they're pretty impressive. They're usually tech people, or they're doctors and lawyers. And then I stopped this Sunday to look at something I had not seen before, although the article tells me it's been going on for years, and it comes under the category of some people have way too much money. And what it is, Deborah Mark, dog and cat marriages.
What? I've never heard of that.
Dogs marrying cats?
No.
Oh.
Dogs marrying dogs, cats marrying cats. And by the way, if it's cats and cats, it's catrimony.
How cute.
It starts with the pictures of Cowboy and Trixie. They're Brussels Griffons. Is that how you pronounce it? Griffins? Which have like little pug faces.
Jesus.
They were married.
What are you reading? What the hell is this?
Ken has too much time on his hands.
You don't have the article in front of you?
No, I know. What I'm saying is you found this in the paper on your own.
Oh, you couldn't miss it. You're flipping the pages. And normally, it's like I said, about elites getting married, men, yes, women. Sometimes it's gay marriages. And it caught my eye because I said, well, where's the bride and groom here? And I had to look really closely at the picture to see these two little tiny dogs. They're on top of like a door sill. He's wearing a tuxedo.
Aww.
And she's wearing a gown. This thing cost $25,000.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And they published it in the New York Times?
Yes.
Oh,
and you
God.
Know what? The woman that owns the male dog is just a fitness coach in Dallas. And the woman that owns she owns the female dog. The woman that owns the male dog is an epidemiology data analyst in Phoenix. These don't sound like people who rake in a lot of money. But
how did they get in the New York Times?
I guess they contacted the paper and said, would you like to do a story on dog marriages? I don't know how they got in the New York Times.
Well, I gotta come clean.
But the writer, Sean Malin, actually describes the outfit. The bride, Twixie, wore an applique lace bodice with a ruffle of layered tulle at the waist. The groom donned a handmade silk cotton tuxedo and top hat.
Fancy.
What, okay. What's this confession?
Yeah, John, did you marry your dog?
No, I was connected to a lizard wedding.
What?
Wow, that's even creepier.
My son had a collection of lizards. There's still a couple around the house. This is, you know, third, fourth grade.
Well, for a child to do this as a plaything.
And his friend also had a collection of lizards, and they just thought it would be funny to have, the two lizards marry. I think we got a video of this.
That's
somewhere.
Okay, because that's kids playing.
Well, one,
these people spent $25,000 to have two dogs get married.
One lizard bolted.
Oh, from the altar?
Just took off, didn't want any part of this.
Cold feet?
Found out later there was some misunderstanding. Both lizards were male. And one decided, this is not for me.
Oh, look at that. Didn't like the gay marriage idea.
Yeah, where the gay lizard marriage? We were cutting edge. We were way ahead of the curve.
No, you're not kidding me. The story is mostly about these two women who got their dogs married. 37 people and pets attended, and they're all dressed in little outfits. Oh, my God. The story is kind of like, the pandemic put off a lot of weddings, and that includes pet weddings, animal weddings.
You know all these people are just overwhelmingly annoying. Like, you wouldn't want to know any of them.
You know that you're seeing a really wacky story when the person in it who makes the most sense, you know who that is? A PETA person. Who said, don't force them to put on outfits they don't want to wear.
Yeah.
Don't make them do something. Don't make the pets suffer in this. If they resist, then don't do this.
They feel foolish. Well, that's why when the lizard ran away, we didn't force
him. You let him go.
We let him go, yeah.
Nice of you.
It was not a shotgun marriage then.
No. I mean, I said, you got to look next time and see what the sex is. I don't know how you look at, I don't know how you figure out a lizard sex.
Here's what she said. If they don't like to be dressed up or they find crowds of strangers stressful, it's better to skip the wedding dresses, the guest list, and anything else that would make them uncomfortable. Yeah. That's from Ingrid Newkirk with PETA.
You know what? That whole crowd needs to be sent to Ukraine for a week.
Even Deborah Mark was shocked by this, and she pampers her little dogs there.
I don't dress them up, though.
Okay.
I do wonder how they would look in a little leopard outfit, but I don't want to stress them out.
We did get to it.
That's the next thing on Facebook.
I don't want to stress them out. Not even on Halloween, you don't dress them up?
You don't have little doggy sweaters?
I was on Amazon for a while trying to find a cute leopard coat, but I just couldn't figure out the size, and I haven't really found one.
Our dog has a few seasonal sweaters.
Yeah.
As a Christmas sweater.
Oh, very cute. Yeah. But does your dog stress out when you put it over his face, and does he not like it, and you continue to do that?
No, he gets pretty happy.
Okay, so he likes it. Yeah. Okay, then that's okay.
Yeah.
See, now, recently, too, the Pope touched on this. Did you see that comment he made months ago? Yeah, the Pope is concerned about people reproducing. And he's trying to tell couples that animals are no substitute for human beings. You should really have children. Oh. You should not be. Because there are some people that take this so seriously now. The dog becomes their child, and they don't have kids.
Very true.
You know what? The Pope should have a couple and get back to me. The hell does he know?
Kids are a lot more expensive than pets, I can tell you that.
Right, I thought you were the one that complaining that we're just not reproducing, that we're...
I've changed my mind. I think we should all stop.
There's too many of us.
Yeah. Look at the quality. Look what's going on.
Wrong people.
Yeah.
All right, more coming up.
John and Ken, Deborah Mark has news. KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.